Do turn with me to Acts and chapter 2. Acts and chapter 2, we will pick up our reading from verse 37 right up to 47. Acts and chapter 2, verse 37 right up to 47. I'm reading from the ESV. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the needs to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. The beginning of every year is usually characterized by reflecting on the past year, but more so making resolutions for the new year. These resolutions tend to focus on what one would like to achieve at a personal level, at a family level, at an organizational level, even at the church level. And as such, some resolve to grow their businesses, to spend time with their families, to achieve academic excellence, and yet some resolve to be devoted or committed to their gods. While you can have legitimate resolutions as an individual, as a Christian, at the personal level, even at the family level, it is absolutely important that a Christian makes a resolve to be devoted or committed to God than ever before. This is because the ultimate purpose for man is indeed to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Beloved friends, I ask, will you and I be devoted to God than ever before this year? Here before us is an example of believers' devotion or commitment to their God. In Acts chapter 2, we have an account of the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The apostles were all gathered together. Scripture does tell us that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in strange tongues or in strange languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Indeed, it was surprising that those that came from places like Parthia, Medes, Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, to mention but a few, heard the apostles speak of God's mighty works. While others, they mocked at the apostles. And you know what they said? These are filled with new wine. It is within this scenario context that the apostle Peter rises to the occasion and delivers that Pentecost sermon by reminding the people of the suffering, as it were, of the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only that, he takes them back to the Old Testament and reminds them of what the prophet Joel had prophesied. He talks about Jesus' public ministry, his suffering, his death, his ascension, his resurrection, but more so, his exhortation. So when they heard the preaching of God's word by Apostle Peter, Scripture does tell us that they were cut to the heart, and they asked the question, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And therefore we are told that those who received the word of God were baptized, and about 3,000 souls were added that day. In verse 41. Our text this evening, brethren, is Acts and chapter 2, verse 42, which reads, and I quote, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers." Our theme is devotion to God. And we will basically consider three things: its definition, its precondition, and finally, its expression. We'll begin with the first point, its definition. Devotion to God implies passionate affection to God. It is, as it were, a yielding of the heart to Him with reverence, with faith, but also with godliness. Devotion should be, as it were, the description of every Christian's relationship to God through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. When a person becomes a Christian, it is expected that there should be a change of life. And that is indeed necessitated by the power of the gospel. In short, life should become more and more God-centered as opposed to being self- or worldly-centered. Oh, Christian friend, it is our duty as believers to be completely devoted to God. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ expects you and I to give priority, as it were, to God and to His business. You remember in His words in Matthew and chapter 6, verse 33, where He tells us, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you." The essence of true devotion to God is indeed anchored on the fear of God, but much more on the love of God. And therefore, the more we love God, the more we are devoted to Him. Every Christian, therefore, must desire to be more devoted to God. Oh, beloved brethren, as we do so, our motto must be, "To God be the glory alone." Remember that we live to glorify God by loving and obeying Him. It must not be for self, or perhaps so that we receive the praise of men. No. But rather, that the glory of God must be priority in our lives, in our thoughts, in our desires, even in our actions. The picture that we see in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, is that of Christians who were devoted to their gods. And you can see it clearly that there was no room for indifference, no room for complacency, no room for lack of commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. However, the sad reality regarding the 21st century church is that it is characterized with so many professing Christians who are so careless, so indifferent, and so unwilling to submit themselves to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, and even the authority of the under-shepherds. This, beloved brethren, is a devotion. Let's move on very quickly to consider its precondition. Now, being devoted to God is only possible for those that have been saved from their sins. In short, devotion to God is a preserve of those whose sins have been forgiven, those who have received the Holy Spirit, and those who have put their faith in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul reminds us, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of God." In Acts 2:42, the text we are considering, the word "they" is indeed in reference to these new believers who gladly received the word of God as it was proclaimed by the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost. Beloved brethren, those of us that are Christians, we have no excuse whatsoever of not being devoted to our God, because He has given us every spiritual resource at our disposal. We have the Holy Spirit who keeps encouraging us, who is our counselor, and He keeps strengthening us in moments even when we, as it were, are weak. Let's move on very quickly to the final point, its expression. The devotion of the early church was expressed in various ways. In our text, it is evident that believers were devoted to four things, namely to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayers. How did they express their devotion to the apostles' teaching? The early church Christians understood that in the Lord Jesus Christ, they were a new people. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, simply put, to the word of God. They received, as it were, the inspired truth of God as it came from the lips of the apostles. It was the apostles' teaching that not only revealed the will of God, but was an ingredient to enhance their spiritual growth as Christians. Oh, beloved brethren, we desperately need Christians who are devoted to the word of Christ, to the word of God. In our day, there are so many voices out there, voices from those that are calling themselves prophets, voices that are from those that are so-called apostles and motivational speakers, who are at the end of it all not preaching the word of Christ, but rather preaching their own words. While the world uses common sense, human philosophies, pragmatism, to look at different things, we who are children of God should rather be instructed by the word of God in all spheres of life, be it personal, family, and even as a church. Remember the words that we hear of the Apostle Paul's writing to Timothy, that all scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So basically, this is how we see the early church believers being devoted to the apostles' teaching. We need to move on. How did they express their devotion to fellowship? The early church Christians were devoted to fellowship, first of all, with God, but more so, one with the other. They had strong bonds of love among themselves as they interacted one with the other. They also had fellowship with God, as I said, in the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper. I need to say that the gathering of God's people, as we are doing this evening, indeed it offers an opportunity for us to have fellowship one with the other. Hebrews 10:25 reminds us that we must not give up the habit of meeting together, as some are in the habit. But rather, we need to encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Oh, beloved brethren, we need to make it our aim to prioritize the gathering of the saints. Wherever the saints are gathering, it must be our priority to be there. It must be our aim to be there. How must we explain the fact that a church of our magnitude, over 400 members, and yet only a handful attend a meeting of this nature, attend the evening services? Only a handful. Very small proportion out of 400 plus members. And yet we find it so easy to do our own things or to attend receptions. Nothing wrong with that. Attend kitchen parties, to watch football or whatever sport that we may like, at the expense of being with the people of God. I don't think the early church believers would do that. In short, what I'm calling us to do is to indeed be devoted, to be committed to God, even in this matter of fellowship. When you have enhanced fellowship, the bond of unity is also enhanced in the body of Christ. Very quickly, how did they express their devotion to the breaking of bread? As we know, the breaking of bread is also referred to as the Lord's Supper, which indeed is a type of fellowship or sharing or communion, as we see it in the Holy Scriptures. Indeed, this was instituted by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And for the believers, the early church believers, they did not allow secondary matters to hinder them from observing the breaking of bread. We too, beloved brethren, we need to remember the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't that call for you and I to watch how we live, to be holy as He who has called us is holy, knowing very well the injunction of Scripture that we mustn't partake of the Holy Communion in a manner that is unworthy? Let's move on very quickly. How did they express their devotion to prayer? They engaged in both private and public prayers. Now, prayer is the atmosphere in which godliness thrives. Therefore, a life of prayer was a life of happiness to them as they prayed without ceasing. Oh, beloved brethren, the Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples to pray and never to lose heart. And we too, as believers, should be encouraged to bring forth our requests and petitions and supplications before the Lord with thanksgiving, knowing very well that the Lord would hear us, provided we pray in accordance to His will. How must we conclude? Being devoted to God is a must for any Christian. You cannot claim to be a healthy Christian when you are not devoted to God, when you are not devoted to the life of the church. Faith without works is dead, the Apostle James tells us. Oh, our devotion to God must entail being active in the service of our Lord. Inevitably, it calls for devotion to the Word of God, to prayers, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, among many other things that Scripture requires us to observe. Beloved brethren, when we are devoted to God, it will show. When we are devoted to God, it will show. And yet our focus is not that men should praise us, but rather the glory of God Himself. And therefore, I would urge us, as we journey through our Christian life in 2015, may we be a people that will be devoted to God, following the example of these early church believers. May it be said of us that we are a devoted church. We are a devoted people or Christian. Oh, for a closer walk with God. That should be our resounding theme as we journey through this year, 2015. May that be our heartbeat as a people of God, as we look to Him, that He alone would enable us, granting us the grace to be a devoted people, a devoted Christian, a devoted church in 2015. Amen.